With all the recent attempts to curtail unions, a recent story in Yankee Magazine reminds us of the role the labor movement played in ending child labor in the U.S. And the story also introduced us to a photographer who contributed to that effort. In 1911, Lewis Hine took about 40 pictures of child laborers in Winchendon, Massachusetts. They were just kids, maybe 9, 10, 11, working in the local textile mills, a common practice in American factories in the early part of the 20th century. Now, for the last 3 years, journalist Joe Manning has been trying to uncover the stories of those kids in the pictures. Who were they? What happened to them? Especially one young girl named Mamie LaBerge. You can see her photo and others taken by Lewis Hine at hereandnow.org. As Joe Manning joins us from WFCR in Amherst, Massachusetts. Joe, welcome.
It's good to be around. Thank you.
It's so great to talk to you. We came across an article about your quest to find the people behind these photographs in Yankee Magazine. How perfect. So we're going to talk about the pictures. But first, we want to also welcome Jen Ford, the great-granddaughter of Mamie LaBerge. Jen, are you there?
I am.
Well, I want to actually go to the end of your story, Joe, first, because here you are trying to track down the descendants of Mamie LaBerge, seeing if there are any other photographs of her. You found different family members, and you're sitting in the kitchen. Jen, it was your parents?
It was my grandfather's kitchen.
Uh-huh. And Jen walks in, and Joe, you think what?
I thought I'd seen the ghost of Mamie LaBerge.
Yeah. She
looked so much like her, particularly that day, because her hair was up like a mill girl would wear her hair up so it wouldn't get caught in the spinning machines. And it just haunted me. And also haunted me was the fact I could tell, you know, from her eyes that she was just really thrilled with looking at this information. And you don't often have that from a person who's in her, you know, 20s. Usually didn't come until later in your life when it's too late.
Well, Jen, you know, it's interesting. You became fascinated with this heretofore complete stranger's interest in your great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. Had you ever thought that much about your great-grandmother?
I probably wouldn't have known that that was my great-grandmother.
Even though there is an old sepia-toned photograph of her on her wedding day in an oval frame in your parents' home?
I always used to walk by and say, I wonder who that is. I keep forgetting. My mom told me once, but I mean, I knew it was her, but I didn't know it was her, you know?
Well, Joe, tell us more about the pictures that got you started on this search.
Hine just simply barged into Winchendon with this big, clumsy camera with no announcement of that he was coming or anything. He didn't want the mill owners to know what he was doing. And he got into the mills when he could. That's how he got the picture of Mamie next to the spinning machines. That's such a great picture. One of the things that he wanted to do was not for us to look at the pictures and pity the children. He thought that if we pitied them, we wouldn't really care about them. And so he tried to make them interesting and beautiful and look like everybody else's children. So the people who were influential in the country, people who were middle class or upper class, who would be the kind of people who would want to make an effort to change the laws so that we would have child labor laws, would look at those kids and say, well, they could have been my kids. I wouldn't want my kids doing that.
And so let's describe that photograph. I've got it in front of me. And again, it's online, listeners, at hereandnow.org. She's standing in this beautiful white, well, it looks beautiful to me, but it's probably a poor frock. And she's got this, what is that, a line of cotton thread?
Yes, she's holding the thread with each hand, yes.
What is all that machinery stretching
there's
down a hall?
Those are spinning machines. There's one loom after another on the spinning machines. The bobbin's going down the line.
And she looks somewhat fierce in a way, just staring, unblinking at the camera.
I think she looks proud. One of the things that happens when you do this project is when you find out what happened to these children and what they were like and so on, you begin to form some opinions about what these pictures may actually misrepresent. You're not sure really what the situation was until you really know.
But then you do find out that she married, I think, someone who made shoes?
Yeah, he was, you know, a top man in a shoe manufacturing company. They made mostly baby shoes.
And she sort of pulled up out of that poverty of being a child laborer. She had three children of her own. And it's funny, you find different photographs of her as you go on your search. And I love that sense that you have of, you know, you're looking at her, for instance, in a photograph in the 60s. You know she's going to die 10 years later, but as you look at her in that photograph, she doesn't.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of freaky because, you know, I am looking at these lives of these children in fast forward. I already know what's going to happen to them.
Well, you find other relatives who talk about knowing her, you know, when they were little children, but they can't remember much. And then you come to Jen. Jen, what's it like for you to realize that you have this great-grandmother who was a child laborer.
It's fascinating and sort of inspirational. And I also kind of feel a little bit shamed that I didn't know any of this or really cared enough to learn up until this point.
Not just Mamie, but there's so many others. I'm looking at another one that's Adeline Card, an 11-year-old textile worker in Vermont. She also had her picture taken by Lewis Hine. There she's in bare feet. God, she looks tiny, and here she is working in a factory. You just want to know what happened to her.
I caught up with her grandchildren, and they often had conversations with her about how she had to work in the mill when she was very little. And she said she only had one pair of shoes, which she had to save to wear to church, and so she never wore the shoes when she went to the mill. Mm. So here we are seeing her barefoot and wondering why she's barefoot, and now we know.
Well, and again, she's another one of the photographs of Lewis Hine, whose whole goal was to get people to pass laws to do away with child labor. Did his photographs help?
Extremely. You know, they were shown everywhere by his employer, the National Child Labor Committee. They were used as the primary way of showing people evidence of what they were talking about. And in a sense, I think they shamed a lot of people. But interestingly enough, the federal child labor law was passed in 1916, but it was ruled unconstitutional 2 years later. And so gradually, though, state child labor laws began to go into force, and child labor disappeared considerably, actually, because of the pressure of unions, because they wanted the jobs for the adults. And then eventually the federal government passed a child labor law in 1938 that is the one basically we have now. I'd say Hine was probably the most important person in that whole era in regard to child labor.
Well, and Jen Ford, your great-grandmother, Mamie LaBerge, also important, you know, in that move, in that she was in one of the photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading, you never knew her, of course, but mm-hmm. I'm reading a description in Yankee Magazine of one of her granddaughters, of what she was like. She was a real huggy grandma. We loved to cuddle up in her lap. We used her chest as pillows. But also, I'm reading here, wow, she apparently did something that we have in our family, and, you know, I always wonder where it came from. She used to bounce kids on her knee and do that trot, trot to Boston, trot, trot to Lynn. Do you do that in your family?
Yes, I grew up with that also.
For people outside of the state, it's just a thing where you bounce kids on your knee and say trot, trot to Boston, trot, trot to Lynn, which is another town. You better watch out or you'll fall in, and you open your knees and they fall. But, I mean, so you do that too. Maybe you got it from your great-grandma.
I'm sure I did somehow.
Well, Jo Manning, again, so she was someone's grandma, someone's great-grandma, someone's wife, but always, I mean, forever, this girl, you know, that's captured in this photograph. And you just seem to have such an emotional reaction to it. In fact, at one point, I think you call her the most beautiful girl in the world.
She's absolutely beautiful. But Hine also, you know, had a lot to do with that, the way he placed her between the spinning machines, the way she wore that white smock, almost angelic looking. She's sort of like a Mona Lisa, you know?
Yeah. Well, and if you want to see what she looks like, again, go to hearnow.org, or just say hello to Jen Ford out there in Western Mass, because apparently looks just like her. Jen Ford and Jo Manning both have been talking to us from Amherst, Mass. Jo, thanks so much.
You're welcome. It was good to be here.
And Jen, thanks to you as well.
Oh, thank you.